Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Lost Soul by E.A. Copen, narrated by Travis Baldry. Chapter 1. The worst part about being a disembodied spirit wasn't the reapers chasing me or the hungry ghosts, but the damn physics. When you're human, movement is limited to lateral directions. Sure, you can jump a few inches, but it's basically just movement in four directions. The ground is down, the sky is up, and walking is just what happens when you push your feet against the floor and tell your brain, mush. Not so for a spirit. As a spirit, there was a whole new set of rules I had to learn to follow. I darted from shadow to shadow, keeping under the balconies on Bourbon Street as best I could. The sun bleached the street, pushing the shadows farther back with every passing hour. Soon, there wouldn't be many shadows left to cling to. I pushed myself to the next deep shadow, but somehow managed to brush my ghostly arm against a ray of sunlight coming through a hole in the balcony above. A flash of light and a little fire broke out on my arm. With a yelp, I patted it out. I lifted my arm with a frown. A good-sized chunk of ghostly flesh was missing. The rest of me thinned out to compensate, and I shuddered. The more bits of me I lost to the sun, the thinner my form became. Eventually, there'd be nothing left. I had to get out of the sun, and quick. Problem was, I didn't know where to go. I could go into any of the buildings to wait out the daylight hours, but I'd be trapped. With a whole group of reapers on my tail, that was the last thing I wanted to be. The balconies came to an end, and with them my protective covering from the sun. What I wouldn't give for an umbrella, I thought, looking across the sunny street. Not that I could use one if I had it. The only thing I'd figured out how to interact with so far were lights. I could make them flicker by flying through the bulbs. Go me. Down the street, there was a small awning that stretched out into the street. There was still a strip of exposed ground, but it was less than I'd face crossing the street. Let's see, this is St. Peter's Street. I think I can take it straight to Basin Street, and then I'll be home free, so long as the shadows hold. I slid around the corner. A fiery meteor slammed into the ground in front of me, pushing me back a half step. When the fire faded, it revealed a man armed with a scythe. His black eyes narrowed at me. You've got to be kidding me. I told you, assholes, I'm not dead. The Reaper clearly didn't care. He stepped forward and swung his scythe at me. I turned and ran back the other way. No matter how many times I tried to explain to those guys that I wasn't really dead, they kept coming after me. I didn't know if there was some sort of automated system in the afterlife spitting them out, or if there was a supervisor I could talk to, or what. Asking wouldn't do me any good, since all the Reapers they'd sent after me didn't do any talking. They also attacked me on sight. Another fiery blast slammed into the sidewalk ahead, passing through the balcony above as if it weren't there. This Reaper was a woman dressed in flowing white robes. Same pissed-off expression, same scythe. I was starting to be a little upset that all I'd gotten when I became death was a crummy stick. I slid to a stop and glanced around for an exit. With one behind me and one in front, my only choice was to push through the building on my right. I turned and rushed the wall, only to hit it and bounce off. Damn it, why couldn't being a disembodied spirit be easy? The Reapers closed on either side. I forced my eyes closed. Okay, Lazarus, you've zipped through walls before. You can do this. All you gotta do is think ghostly thoughts. What did ghosts think about anyway? Unfinished business? Boy, did I have a ton of that. The Reapers were almost on top of me when I opened my eyes and sped forward toward the brick wall. I winced, expecting to hit it again, but instead I popped through onto the other side. The building must have been a hotel, because the trappings of an upscale hotel lobby were all around. Plush chairs, mahogany desk, fancy rug. The only thing missing was the people. Of course, the quarter was still a ghost town after the near apocalypse I'd died averting. It'd be a few weeks before things got back to normal. I sped through the lobby without stopping to admire the place and pushed through the wall on the other side. I came out in a mostly empty parking garage where another Reaper waited. He pushed off the pillar he was casually leaning against, don't ask me how, since they were as ethereal as me, and spun his scythe. I huffed out of breath. Just how many of you assholes are there?
As many as are required, he said.
I blinked. You can talk?
Of course. Now, if you'd be so kind as to stop running so I can reap your soul, I would certainly appreciate it.
Sorry, pal. Not gonna happen. I prepped to push myself upward and into the upper level of the parking garage. I figured the worst thing that could happen was I went too far and wound up in the sun again. Then I could just dive into the next building and book it out of there. The Reapers would never stop hunting me, though. Not until I either found the missing pieces of my soul and got back into my body, or somehow convinced them that I really wasn't dead. Just as I was about to jump, a loud, screaming cry echoed through the parking garage.
Leroy Jenkins!
Another spirit came smashing through the wall like a blue bullet. I had a fraction of a second to recognize the cockeyed hat, the mustached lip, and the face of Jean Lafitte before he grabbed me and pulled me through the other wall and out into the sun. I curled up to protect myself as best I could, but the fire sparked on all the exposed flesh, ectoplasm. Who the hell knew what I was made of? We sailed over Dauphine and Burgundy streets at a speed well in excess of 100 miles an hour, the wind fanning the sprouting flames.
Jean, I shouted. I'm on fire! Fear not, my friend. We have but a short trip until you're safely within the confines of sacred ground.
True to his word, Jean flew toward the gates of St. Louis No. 1 and dropped me just on the other side. The moment my feet touched the ground, the flames sizzled and went out. My ethereal form became more solid, almost flesh-like, for the first time since I'd shattered my soul. I ran my hands over my chest just to make sure all of me was still there, then collapsed with a huff of air, giving Jean a doubtful look.
Leroy Jenkins?
He hovered above me, hands folded behind his back.
I heard it on a television program. It seems to have some sort of cultural meaning. I assumed it was a cry of bravery for those charging into battle on behalf of their friends.
Not exactly. More like the war cry of a bonehead running headlong toward inevitable defeat.
Oh.
He lowered himself so that he was standing on the ground. The same phenomenon that had happened to me had also happened to him. His blue spiritual form changed into one of color and solid build. It was as close as I'd ever get to meet a live and breathing version of Jean Lafitte. Of course, he hadn't really ever died either. He lost his body when an Archon forced him out of it. The downside was that he was now a disembodied spirit, barely able to interact with the physical world. Upside, eternal life. Jean wore a blue jacket with a bright red sash at his waist and a feathered cavalier's hat. His gruff facial features and large mustache made him look intimidating, but the truth was, Jean was a bit of a coward sometimes. The thing he feared most was Reapers, which he'd always claimed were hunting him, though I'd never seen any evidence of that. After how the last few hours had gone for me, I'd never doubt him again.
How'd you know where to find me? I asked.
He crossed his arms.
The Reapers left me alone. I figured they'd either finally given up, unlikely, or they'd found more impressive game to hunt. Then I asked myself, what soul could be more worthwhile than mine? After all, they have been hunting me for 200 years. I went to see what the fuss was all about, and found you.
So, you weren't looking for me?
Not in the slightest.
He pulled his legs up to sit cross-legged in midair.
I'm a little surprised to see you, especially in your current state. What happened? Did an Archon put your soul out, or did you just finally drink yourself to death?
You've got how many bars named after you, Jean? That's the pot calling the kettle black. I rubbed the back of my head. I'm not dead. Not completely, anyway. I may have pulled my own soul out to fuel a spell. Apparently that causes it to shatter. I've got 6 days to put my soul back together and shove it into my body, or Samity digs my grave.
Jean stroked his mustache. And what happens if somebody digs your grave?
I die. For real, this time.
I see. Any progress?
I shook my head. Haven't been able to get anywhere with these Reapers chasing me.
Besides, just getting the hang of existing without a body has been a pain in the ass. That's it, I snapped my fingers. You can teach me. He looked horrified and backed away. Me? Why not? I asked, shrugging. You've been a disembodied spirit avoiding Reapers for 200 years. You must know something that can help. Please, John, you're my only chance. Well, he paused to clear his throat. I suppose I can help you, though I have absolutely no idea how to locate lost pieces of a soul. They could be anywhere, Lazarus, without any leads. He shrugged.
Well, it all started in Jackson Square, so I thought that was where I'd start looking.
I pushed up to my feet and took a step. My foot sank about 2 inches into the ground and got stuck there. I tried to pull it free, but whatever ability allowed me to pass through solid objects seemed to have turned itself off, and Jean was no help. He was perfectly content to stand back and chuckle at me as I struggled. A little help here. First of all, if you want to move like a spirit, you've got to stop thinking like a human. Jean put a hand under my arm and pulled me out of the ground with ease. When you look at the ground, what do you see?
I looked down and shrugged.
Dirt?
Jean let me go and knelt to scoop up a handful of loose dirt and grass, complete with a few worms.
It's more than just dirt. There's a lot of blank space in between the tiny bits that make up the world.
Like the spaces between atoms?
Sure.
He dumped the dirt.
The point is, human beings have big, solid bodies. Even though there's all that empty space, they can stand on anything. We just sink into it. The more empty space there is, the easier it is to sink into. So, instead of walking, floating is easier.
To show me, he shoved off the ground, hovering several feet up. But what if I want to interact with something physical? Like if I wanted to open a door?
Jean shrugged. Easier to just float through a wall, really.
No, bad example. I waved my hands. Say I wanted to push something off a shelf to get someone's attention, or flip a book to a certain page. Can I do that?
Sure, Jean said. In about 50 or 60 years.
I groaned and put my face in my hands. I didn't have 50 years to figure out how to be a proper disembodied spirit. I had 6 days. During those 6 days, I was inevitably going to need someone's help. Not only that, but I wanted to let Emma know I was still around, if I could. That was going to be all but impossible if all I could do was make a few lights flicker. But Jean could do it. I'd seen him move solid objects before. Maybe I wouldn't need to do any of that if I stayed with him, provided he didn't run off at the first sign of trouble, like usual. Okay, I said, heaving a deep breath and floating toward the cemetery exit. Let's do this.
Oh, one more thing. Lazarus?
I grabbed the iron gate. As soon as I touched it, a shock ran through me, and everything went black. I don't know how long I was out for, but I came to, resting on a grave with my head against the stone. Jean sat in the boughs of a tree, feet swinging in the breeze as he hummed a tune.
Oh, what happened?
I sat up, rubbing my neck. Jean floated down from the tree.
Oh, good. You came back. I was worried you were done for.
Done for?
The iron. He gestured to the gate. It's one of the 3 things we can't touch. If you do, you'll pop out of existence like that. He snapped his fingers. Ultimately, you come back, of course, but sometimes it takes a while. Days? Weeks? Depends, unless it's a Reaper size. You touch that, and it's all over.
No iron, no Reaper size. I counted on 2 fingers and tried to remember all the usual rules associated with ghosts. I dealt with them on a regular basis as a necromancer, so the iron thing should have been at the forefront of my mind, but everything in my memory had been a little hazy since I turned up as a spirit. The final item finally came to me.
And salt, right? Jean nodded. Salt water doesn't count unless it has a very high concentration of salt, of course. But if you avoid all 3 of those things, you should be fine. Unfortunately, there's a lot more iron in the world than I think most living people realize. Be careful moving through building walls, for example. Some of them have iron supports, And cars? Well, the newer ones should be okay, but it's safer to attach yourself to an object. Then the rules are a little more flexible, and... He trailed off and lowered his hands. You know what? This'll be a lot easier if you learn it on the job. You don't need to know all this. I mean, it took me decades to get all the rules down. And I'm on borrowed time. I looked at the sky. The sun was still out, but I hadn't been burned since setting foot in the cemetery, which proved one of my theories right anyway. I was safe on sacred ground, at least from the sun. From dawn until dusk, I'll have to remain in a cemetery? Jean shrugged. I'm not bound by that rule, but it might be different for you. You're a much dimmer spirit. Maybe once we find some of your pieces and start putting you back together, you can venture out in the daytime. But I wouldn't go out as you are until the sun sets. I need to find out how many pieces there are, I said, pacing. If you could call floating back and forth pacing. It really wasn't quite as satisfying as stomping around. I know Odin has my shadow. Maybe he'd know. Well, do you have any idea how to get in contact with him? I didn't. Not exactly. Odin had always come to me whenever he wanted something, not the other way around. I stopped pacing. Maybe I didn't know how to get hold of Odin directly, but I knew he was in town, and I knew exactly what he wanted. Jean, I said, with a big smile, where is the closest grocery store? Chapter 2. As soon as the sun set, we left St. Louis No. 1 and found our way to a convenience store over a few streets away. It was still open, which wasn't ideal, but I didn't want to waste any time waiting for patrons to clear out. Jean pointed out lots of steel around and told me to be careful not to bump into the shelves. Apparently, they had just enough iron to be a problem. He had no problems moving through them, however. I chalked it up to my only being part of his soul. I have to get those other pieces, and soon, I thought, as I searched the aisles. I turned a corner, and a large woman with a broom stepped through me. The feeling of her body passing through mine almost made me sick. She stopped after a few steps, shivered, and muttered something about the air conditioning being too high in there, before continuing to sweep. I found what I wanted in the aisle closest to the checkout and stood in front of the display of snack cakes, wondering how I was going to move them from the shelf. How many do you think we need? I asked Jean. He shrugged. This is probably enough. How many Twinkies can a one-eyed god eat? Famous last words. I glanced around the gas station, settling on the clerk stocking the nearby shelves. So how do we get them from point A to point B? Observe. Jean wiggled his fingers, squinted as if concentrating, and reached out to grab one of the packages with slow, deliberate movements. His fingers slowly wrapped around one of the packages, and he lifted it with a big grin. All you have to do is concentrate really hard. Focus entirely on the boundaries between your spectral form and the Twinkies. I tried to copy what he'd just done, moving slowly, putting my hand around the package, closing my fingers, and... My hand went right through, forming a fist without affecting the Twinkies. So close. You move like you've been a spirit for at least 6 months instead of 6 hours. I need for this to work now, damn it. Jean grabbed another package from the shelf. You're still thinking like a human. Imagine you're more like gravity, all force and will. I tried again. My thumb slipped right through the outer packaging and squished into the creamy center of the snack cakes before stopping. Close, Jean said. Think less about grasping and more about the boundaries between you and the object. I pulled my hand free. Somehow the cream filling had stuck to my fingers, but that was it. Ghost physics were weird. What the hell? The store clerk, who'd walked through me earlier, leaned over, wide-eyed, and blinked at the mess on my hand. To her, it must have looked as if the cream filling had just floated out of the Twinkie wrapper and suspended itself mid-air. Jean turned, and she shrieked at the two packages of snack cakes floating mysteriously toward her. She swatted at him with the broom, managing only to knock the packages to the floor. Another swing, and she tipped over the whole display and started whacking the packages flat with her broom.
I sighed. Damn it, look what you did, lady. Now I'm going to have to go to the back and find the supply box, and it's going to be even harder to move. She didn't hear me, of course. Only someone attuned to ghosts and spirits would have been able to hear or see me. Someone like me. The clerk just continued to beat the innocent Twinkies into a creamy yellow paste.
Well then, Jean puffed himself up. Let's do this the hard way.
He zoomed forward and pushed his way into the gas station clerk. She immediately stopped beating the snack cakes like a wild snake and stood up straight, back rigid. Her right eye twitched along with her upper lip.
Jean?
I poked the woman's shoulder, or tried to. I still didn't have the hang of touching things. The gas station clerk turned her head to look straight at me.
Yes?
I squinted. Not that it helped. I didn't have my vision powers anymore.
Jean, are you possessing this poor woman?
There was a slight pause while he looked himself over.
Yes, I believe I am. Oh, don't look at me like that. You need a box of snack cakes to get Odin's attention? Getting a human to do the heavy lifting is the fastest, easiest way, especially since you can't lift anything. She won't be harmed.
I sighed. I guess, as long as nobody gets hurt. Jean forced the clerk's body to lumber awkwardly toward the storage room. After a few steps, he bumped into a display of beer cases and tumbled over them.
I said, as long as she doesn't get hurt.
I floated over him while he tried to coordinate the woman's limbs to push himself up.
It's not my fault. I'm not used to being in a body, you know. Not only do I have to make the limbs work, but she has to breathe. It's very awkward after not having to do any of this for 200 years.
I slapped my face. Hey, my hand didn't go through me, at least.
You're telling me you haven't ever possessed a body before? A few times.
He finally made it back to his feet.
But I don't normally move around this much. It'll be fine.
Judging by how difficult it was for Jean to steer the body into the back room, finding all the missing pieces of my soul within the 6-day window was going to be tougher than I'd initially imagined. He walked into 2 walls and another shelf before he made it back there. There was an unopened box of Twinkies on a low shelf, thankfully, meaning he didn't have to get on the ladder. All he had to do was grab and lift.
Where do you want them? He asked, box in hand.
I looked around the tiny stockroom. There wasn't much empty floor space, but there was just enough near the exit to the dumpsters.
Right there is fine.
Jean took a step and tripped over the clerk's shoelaces. The box smashed to the floor and Twinkies scattered everywhere. At least most of them happened to land inside the space I'd indicated. Close enough. Now to just draw the circle. I realized the problem with my plan as soon as I thought it. To draw a circle, I needed to be able to hold a writing implement. Not only that, but I'd need a drop of blood to close the circle.
I really hate being a ghost.
What's the matter?
Jean asked, picking his borrowed body up off the floor. I explained my problem.
What if we used our blood?
I shook my head. Won't work. The blood needs to hold the spark of magic. We need a new plan. He sank down to sit, shoulders slumped.
Maybe there's another way to summon Odin.
I hope so, or we're screwed. I reached to help Jean up in his new body. He tried to grab my hand, but his slipped right through. He turned and reached to grab the metal bar next to the counter to pull himself.
No, Jean, don't, that's...
Too late. As soon as his fingers closed around the bar, the body went rigid. He made a strange sound, and the poor clerk fell over, limp but breathing. I floated over the body.
Jean?
No answer. I just hoped the iron hadn't zapped him away for good, because I really needed the help. Someone started whistling a familiar tune on the other side of the gas station's back door. I floated through the wall. A big metal dumpster sat out back in a wooden enclosure. The whistling was coming from outside the enclosure, so I passed through the wood and found myself in an empty, grassy lot between businesses. Baron Samedi stood just a few feet away, shoveling piles of dirt out of a hole and whistling.
You know this section of the city's not zoned for burials, right?
I shouted at him. He didn't break his stride.
This city's sinking at roughly an inch per year, you know, with all the hurricanes, the construction, dirt's shifting faster and faster, and not everyone's bones stay where they're supposed to be. Sometimes they slide in the mud and wind up someplace they shouldn't be, like you.
He glanced over his shoulder at me. I looked up into the sky, searching for any signs of reapers.
He's saying I should be dead?
Samity stuck the shovel in the dirt and leaned on it.
That's exactly what I'm saying, boy. Isn't right for a body to go on without a soul, and you've made no progress in putting yourself back together. Perhaps I should be digging your grave next, no?
I'm trying. You know, this would all be a lot easier if you'd call off the reapers hunting me. I keep trying to explain to them that I'm not dead, but they don't seem convinced. He grunted, lifted a red handkerchief from his pocket, and cleaned sweat from his face.
I wish I could, but that's not my department. It's because you shouldn't be. Nobody knows what to do with a man who's neither dead nor living, particularly a horseman. Soul like that is valuable. The powers that be were wanted back in circulation as soon as possible.
I took a step closer as he went back to digging. So if it's not you sending them after me, who can I talk to so I can make this all go away? He stopped digging long enough to stroke his chin.
The boss of the Reapers, eh? That'd be Thanatos, but good luck convincing him. He's a fanatic. Doesn't like it when things break the rules.
I massaged my temples. But medically, I'm alive, right? So I'm not breaking any rules. No more than any of the millions of coma patients all over the country are, right?
Wrong.
He went back to digging.
They still have their souls. People like you and that pirate you've associated yourself with, you're neither living nor dead. But since you don't adhere to the rules of the living, it's easier for everyone to just assume you are dead. As I said, there's nothing I can do for you there.
His shovel struck something solid. Samity knelt to brush some dirt from whatever it was he'd hit and smiled.
Ah, there you are, my friend.
He stood, holding a bleached human skull. I gestured to it. Who's that?
No one of importance to you. That's who.
He set the skull aside and continued digging, removing more bones on occasion as our conversation continued.
Now, I can't do anything about the Reapers hunting you, but it seems to me you're having other problems.
Damn right. I crossed my arms. I don't know where any of the pieces are or how to find them, except for maybe one. I know Odin has my shadow. I was going to try to call him using his favorite food, but I can't really construct a working summoning circle in this form. Being a disembodied soul kinda sucks. Samity's white smile gleamed.
You want to talk to the Allfather? That's a tall order, but he's taken a special interest in you, so perhaps it can be done. The best way to reach him is to catch one of his ravens. He has them watching the city, you know.
Okay, how do I do that? He shrugged.
How should I know? I'm only a humble grave digger, after all. But if I wanted to trap and speak to a bird, I'd feed it.
I thought for a minute. That made sense. I mean, I was going to use food to attract Odin, and food was generally the surest way to make sure anybody showed up. But I didn't know much about Odin's ravens, aside from their names.
Hugin and Munin, right? What do they eat? Worms?
Samity chuckled.
If all you have to offer is worms, you will be sorely disappointed, though worms and Odin's ravens do have a diet in common. Both feast on the recently dead. If you want to summon the ravens, you need carrion. Then simply speak their names and wait.
I looked around again. In downtown New Orleans, there wasn't much roadkill, and I'd seen crews moving around during the day to collect anyone who'd died during the shutdown of the French Quarter. It was going to be slim pickings if I needed a fresh kill, but at least that wasn't impossible.
Thanks for the tip, I said. Anything else you can offer?
He knelt and started placing the bones he'd collected in a sack.
Not as far as reapers and ravens go. However, there is another problem you should be aware of.
I knew what he meant even before he said it.
Mask.
Samity nodded.
You may have won the battle for New Orleans, but Mask still has a foothold in this world.
As long as he controls Ferry, he can come back without much trouble at all.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?